Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an Eke.
And James.
The Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This week on Minority Corner.
What are we talking about?
And okay, it's episode 150.
Woo, 150.
You know what? Let's all go to the movies.
Popcorn.
Let's all go to the movies. Watch
Red
it
Vines.
From right at home.
Easy, Netflix.
We watch, yes, there is many, we watch Napoli Ever After, and we want to give you the lowdown on our
thoughts. We're going to give you a review on that shit.
Also,
and then we're also doing Pop Culture Grab Bag-a-thon.
Yes, from Cher vs. Bette Midler to Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm, to Kanye in the White House.
Birds of Prey, what's going on with that? The new movie that's coming out, and some, some people are getting all crazy about some of the casting that's been happening in it.
I know, and also some mess that's happening with some falsely accusing 9-year-olds.
Oh, gosh.
For sexual assault.
And I saw some documentaries that are, I think, must viewing for everyone to be informed about what is happening, not only in our country, but globally.
Yes, I am ready for this episode. Are you?
Yes, I am so ready. My pants are on, my shoes are on, and my hat is on, and I'm ready to go.
All right, get your jacket on, and let's head out the door.
Huh. Let's do it. Hi, baby. Oh, sorry. Just so much Cher. That was my Cher voice.
Oh,
hey, baby.
Nice.
Let's do it on the corner today.
Is this like a black Cher?
Cher is a little black, isn't she?
I
feel like she is not full. Okay. She's got black in her soul.
She's half Armenian.
Okay.
I know
well,
that.
There it is.
She's white and Armenian. And some people would even argue that Armenian.
Yeah, there are an oppressed.
Can be classified as white.
Oh, yeah. My therapist was Armenian and he's like, I'm not white. Like, they are an they are equally an oppressed group of people. So.
Mm-hmm.
Come on over to the oppression party. It's not a party.
The water's warm.
The water's warm. We're all hanging out over here, having a good time.
And you know what? I'm just going to say it, too, to be completely fair. There's a lot of oppressed white people in the world, too. So, that classify.
Okay.
You know, not WASPs.
Yes. Who else would be the oppressed white people that you were talking about?
Like Eastern Europe.
Oh, yeah.
Places, mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Like Kosovo and Syria, mm-hmm. Syrian refugees.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I would agree. I'll co-sign on that. Pull out the documents. Give me my pen. A sign. And Cher's going to sign it too, baby.
I don't know if she's ever said baby like that, but you know what? It's your interpretation.
It's
mine.
Like,
I'm gonna.
I
give
don't know
you that.
How to order a pizza, bitch. That's what she'd be saying when she tried to order a pizza from Domino's. She doesn't know how.
You know what? I'm very sad since you're bringing up Cher. She has an excellent Twitter that we've talked about before, but there is one tweet that I thought was amazing, where it said. Every time a bird shits on my car, I go outside and I eat eggs just to show them that I don't fuck around. And I was like, wow, this is the best Cher tweet ever. But it turns out it was fake.
Oh, damn it. Wait, someone hacked into... hack into her Twitter?
It was a fake Cher account.
Okay. But that does seem something dope that Cher would say. And...
Right?
Cher says dope things on Twitter. Unlike, she's like, I people like Cher and Jane Fonda, mm-hmm. who, and Angela Bassett, who just aged so brilliantly and gracefully.
Oh my God.
Like,
Angela
wisdom.
Bassett.
And Oprah, who just aged with, and Maya Angelou, who aged with such, they just got more intelligent as they got older.
Yes.
Unlike, Bette Midler, who.
Tell the babies about what did that woman do.
With Auntie Bette Midler, not my auntie.
Not mine.
She was, but I revoke. Yeah.
I revoke the credit.
I'm not sure if she was trying to spook us because, it's Halloween and she was just trying to say some spooky shit. in honor of Hocus Pocus 2. But she came out the gates and she used the Yoko Ono quote, which was problematic back then and is still problematic today.
Yes.
That what is it? That woman is the N-word of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
That is very frustrating because black women be like, but what? What is that? Where does that put me at?
Yeah, what am I like times two, motherfucker, forgetting about fucking intersectionality? I hate that shit. That's what always happens.
I really wish people would stop trying to equate the plight of like black people and enslavement to anything else. Only thing I think you could equate it to is maybe like the slavery of Jewish people in Egypt.
I'm only, you know what? I like we always say, oppression Olympics. Nobody wins.
Yeah, everyone's a loser.
Everybody loses. And also, you saying whenever people, and this is the thing that really pisses me off because this is happening a lot mm-hmm. lately right now too. Whenever people are like, "Oh, this is like the black people of blah blah yeah. blah," and I'm like, "You can say that, but then how come?" So that means you're co-signing that black people have had a rough ass time.
Yeah.
How come you're not standing up for
yeah,
us?
Yeah, I feel like the caveat is, and also uh-huh. in addition to. Let's give equality for black people. Like, that's what you say, Bette Midler. Women is the end, like the N word. Women is the N word of the world, and the black people need to be treated equally, like that. Or, you know, I don't know. Or just don't say that.
Just don't say that.
Because it's problematic as fuck. And you know what?
Yeah, and then she, like, her apology was so terrible, too. It was like, I'm an ally. No, you're not. Clearly, you're not if you're saying this shit.
I feel like, because I get, you know, I feel like part of the conversation is when you say something, and I get it. It's hard in this day and age when you're a celebrity and you have such... you know, you're so far out in the spotlight and we have such access to your every thoughts and opinions.
Yeah.
And it's a conversation mm-hmm. and you're going to put your foot in the mouth. And I think the best thing to do is to say, oh, my bad. I fucked up. I get it. I did not see that.
Right.
Instead of just sort of doubling down. Because I love an active political starlet.
Me too.
I now am looking, doing a double take at Taylor Swift.
You know what? I appreciate it. It came kind of late.
Yeah, but better late than never.
It came kind of annoying, but I appreciate it. You know? She has little hints in there that she had been voting for women. She was like, I usually like to support women. Hint, hint, I probably voted for Hillary. But... Mm. She's not supporting this one woman in Tennessee, I think. That's where she's going to be voting.
Yeah, and she, her involvement alone, like, increased the voter turn. They had the same in one day. So Taylor Swift, like, put up this post of, like, you know, don't vote for this woman in Tennessee. She's terrible. Mm-hmm. And she's not the Tennessee values that I, you know, go for. And in that one day, Taylor Swift is this popular that they got, like, I think 60,000 people to register to vote in one day. And that's more than they had in the entire month of August. Like,
which is amazing.
That has the potential to like help Taylor Swift can help turn Tennessee blue.
I love it. You know what, Taylor? You know, like you said, better late than never.
Yeah. And you know, on the flip side of that, you have Kanye West.
Oh, God.
Acting a fool still. Like, it's just been like, I feel like it's like week after week. It's like, who's going to do the crazier thing? That man in the White House or his friend that joined him in the White House? Like, who's
I mean,
every
they're
week?
Both my, you know, without getting into the sadness of it all, I do like that it has come to light that his phone code is 0000.
Oh, what? I did not learn that. Where did you? Ooh, get the scoop. So now I can find.
He
I can
opened
get
up his
phone
when he was sitting there. God. When he was sitting there talking to Trump, and he was like, "Ooh, let me get something up on my phone," and then somebody zeroed in on him doing his phone code, and it's just 0000.
Oh man, I think that is the best takeaway. Oh my gosh,
I think that is basically our country in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's like, you know, the
security code
that's happening there.
000.
Oh Lord. And I like that, like, even like Trump was like sitting across from him being like, uh-oh, what the fuck. I don't know how anybody, like, again, there's no one It's a circus like running the, you know, White House right now. Like it's like, I don't even want to say chimpanzees because I think they're really smart. Like what's a crazy, it's like chickens. It's like chickens running around in the White House, clucking around.
That's exactly, you know what? I have no problem equating anything to a chicken.
I don't either.
Like I value chickens, but they're stupid. We all know that chickens are very stupid.
Which is why I don't mind, like I love, like it's cute seeing them run around, but I don't mind eating, I don't mind eating chickens because I don't think they're very intelligent. And that's okay for me. That's me. Come at me.
That's your
Come
thing.
At me, chicken coop. Come at me, chicken coop kids.
You mean vegetarians.
The chicken coop kids are coming after me today.
Chicken coop kids would be on your side.
Oh, okay, because they like to eat the chickens. But someone should have been like, okay.
Oh my God. You're saying all the radical things this morning,
I am radical
James.
Today. I am. It is the Lord's day, and he blessed me with the gift of gab today. She has blessed me. With the gift of gab.
Where are we?
I don't know. We're free falling today. But someone should have been like, oop, this interview is crazy. Let's get all the journalists out of here and have a private 101 with Kanye West.
I feel like people don't even give a fuck anymore.
But journalists
anymore.
Were like
people
laughing
like, you know
and
what?
Giggling. Like,
I know.
This is
just like Trump at the UN where he's like got laugh. He's the laughing stock of all the world leaders where he was like saying, it's like nobody, it's such a mess now. Where it's almost like, you know, when your life is such shit, where you're just like, I just gotta like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what's
that's
happening.
Well,
but you know what made me feel better about the Kanye and Trump thing, even though it felt super bizarre?
It was insane. And the fact that, like, it's invigorating, like, he has access to him. It's like, God damn it. Why can't it be, like, Jay-Z or someone, you know? Like, Beyonce.
I mean, of course not.
I know. But, like, it's sitting.
They were in Obama's camp.
I know. But, like, I just.
This makes me feel better where I'm like, it's not that insane because there's pictures of like Sammy Davis Jr. and
Nixon.
There's pictures of like Elvis and Nixon. So I'm like, there's always been kooky banana celebrities hanging out with kooky banana presidents.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Well,
but it's still dumb.
It is dumb. Well, and I don't mean to rain on, I don't mean to bring in the rain clouds. So you just found the silver lining. And here comes some truth. Clouds, chugga chugga chug. Get your umbrella out because here comes the rain.
Okay. I'm coming.
I really recommend two documentaries that I saw back to back, and it's like a 1-2 punch of like, oh fuck. And just sort of, you know, I believe in like really us educating ourselves in this day and age, especially like I feel like our generation specifically is being challenged with, you know, fighting for our democracy. Have we ever truly had a free democracy? No, but I feel like every generation's been called to task to, you know, step up and be informed and challenge. And you know this as, you know, a lover of education, that information is knowledge and knowledge is power, you know?
Hell yeah.
And I love documentaries and really good, you know, vetted documentaries. I always go in with a documentary of like, okay. And I feel like you can tell a balanced documentary, you know? So Netflix put out a series. This is back in January 2018. It just came into my recommendations recently. So Netflix, fix your algorithm because I should have.
I mean, I don't understand that recommendation. Some of those things, I'm like, why would I want to watch this?
Do you
this?
Know
but
me?
Yeah, that's besides the point.
Oh, you know, something fishy is going on there. But I finally got recommended. Mm-hmm. It's a 6-part documentary series, and it is called Dirty. Dirty Money. And it's essentially about cons and all like the great cons that have been happening. And it's a really brilliant series because the way it leads up. It starts with like Volkswagen, who, and like things that I had no idea. You kind of hear in the background in the news sometimes, but what a documentary brings it all to like the forefront, like all the headlines, and digs into it even deeper. And so the big Volkswagen for like the longest time was lying about how their vehicles were, you know, their diesel vehicles were.
Right. I remember.
Yeah.
This.
And they kept lying about it. And everyone kept thinking that the science was wrong because they would test it. And they were like, well, Volkswagen, they're trustworthy and they say this. But this whole entire debacle that their cars have been ruining the environment for a good while. And
jeez,
that there's and still continuing to this day.
Awful.
There's an episode about Big Pharma. It kind of gets you. You feel like it's going to be about Martin Shriekel, who
That one guy
who like bought the essentially like the HIV medication and then increased the price of it 3,000%. But he's like
and then he also did the Wu-Tang album too.
Yes,
that was really
but he
weird.
Was the tip of the iceberg because it's the whole entire company, I forget the name of it, who's been buying up all these mom-pa pharmaceutical drug companies that are and stopping the science production of it in terms of like investing money into finding new drugs and just essentially just buying up all these companies and then just raising the price of these drugs where people are literally having to spend tens of thousands of dollars on these drugs and there's no laws in place. And so it's all these cons and con man stands for confidence man. And like, that's where the early days of con man comes from, is it's a confidence scheme. And there's even a maple syrup one where it's about, apparently, like, I haven't finished this
but there's the
maple syrup mafia in Canada. HSBC, which is like the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank something with a C, has been funding, has been helping drug cartels with money laundering. It's insane. And like, all these things, these cons are still happening. And then episode six, it's brilliant the way they built it up, Aneke, because by episode six, it's about the ultimate con man. Who
Trump? Yeah.
And it's so fascinating because the way they kind of take you on this journey and you're just like, holy fuck. And they go through the history of like all the cons that he's run. The language that he used in Trump University, it was the same language that he used in terms of like building people's confidence into Trump University.
It's
was the
wild
same
how we like know all of this.
Yes, and you're just like, oh my god, in the same language that he was using when he was running for office, like the same exact,
right?
It's bananas. And that, like, you know, his casino that was in New Jersey, the big scam that went through that, and it's like, it's and just like, he's not a billionaire, he's maybe worth a few million if not in debt, and the money laundering, but there's a lot of money laundering happening between Trump. So that's Dirty Money. And then
that's wild.
It gets even crazier if you then watch. Then I was on a. You learn all this information, like, ugh, I need to know more. So then, if you're feeling really savvy, there's a documentary called Active Measures that came out in 2018. Mm. It's on Hulu. And essentially, like, it.
Just get in all your streaming services.
You know what? I'm gonna check and see what Amazon Prime's got cooking up. What you got, Amazon Prime?
Exactly.
Get in the conversation.
Get in your HBO Go too.
Oh yeah, that's
they got good documentaries on there, of course.
And let's see with the so Active Measures pairs very well after Dirty Money because essentially it's about Russia and the Russian oligarchies that are essentially the Russian mafia. There's a thin line between the Russian government and the Russian mafia and the oligarchies that are essentially controlling over Russia. And this documentary is so fucking legit. Like, the director, he has John Podesta, who is Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, John McCain, which is really kind of heartwarming to see John McCain in this documentary. I think it's probably his last documentary that he's probably a part of. Hillary Clinton's in it because he wanted to make it very bipartisan and just sort of showing that, you know, since Putin took to power, there's been a rise in like Russian billionaires and a decrease in like the amount of money the average Russian person is making, and essentially trying like the same, like, for example, like there's a Putin playbook, for example, that in the country Georgia, when he had tried to invade into Georgia, everyone was like, what the fuck are you doing? We don't do that anymore. You don't be invading into countries. And he doesn't have the military strength to back up. Like, he lost that, you know, battle and war. So what he did is, and the Russian billionaires have been money laundering into a lot of, like, putting their money into, like, buildings. Like, a lot of, like, you know, who else builds buildings? Donald Trump. Money into, that's why you see all these, in these countries where these Trump towers are sort of bumping up. And there was a dismantling of the Soviet Union, and remember, like, Putin is KBG, and he was there when that wall had fallen down, and he, like, barely escaped with his life, and he remembers what it was like when there was an uprising against... So in Georgia, for instance, he essentially backed a wealthy person that was very popular, and he backed him. The candidate would say things like essentially discrediting his opponent's birthright to the nation, that they weren't really Georgian. Sound familiar?
Ugh, God.
And then after elected, him and his getting his constituents to chant things like "lock him up." Same.
Oh my God! Similar.
Same thing happened in the Ukraine, which you might remember that they recently had, you know, invaded. And essentially, same thing happened in the Ukraine. Except the guy that was the president there had been poisoned. There was like a poisoning that happened, which dismantled the guy's face. He still was able to get like elected, but then again backed a pro-Russia person. And then when the female president had then lost, and it looked like there was tampering, and there was again trolling that happened. Same, you know, a lot of like trolling and fake news type things that were being infiltrated into like their their system. And again, things like "lock her up" were chanted.
Their
citizenship was, you know, discredited, that they weren't really, you know, of that nation of Ukrainian citizenship. So it's like literally there's like a playbook, because isn't it easier to infiltrate a country and instead of pro-Russia person installed there instead of invading? Yeah. It's so much easier. And then you look at, and then it
puts, this is so crazy.
And then it shows that like everyone within Trump's original cabinet had ties, like strong ties to Russia. You know, Michael Flynn, even Rex Tillerson, like all of these people had these ties to Russia. And that like Trump, this goes far beyond the elections, that Trump has had ties to Russia since like, you know, he had his first financial troubles in the 80s. So I know that's a long wind of information, but I highly...
But go check it out, because you can really see how all of this stuff is connected.
Yeah, yeah.
And how all of it is the same sort of tactic.
Yeah.
So when it starts happening again, we can nip it in the butt.
Yes.
We can be like, look, we aren't falling for your fucking tactics, you know?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's out of control.
Yeah.
It's really out of control. And it's really like... the thing that like really pisses me off, and I'm glad that you brought it up with the Russian oligarchs, that this is just rich people in power wanting to stay in power.
Yep.
And it's using racism as a way, nationalism as a way to maintain the wealth in the 1%.
Yep.
And it's all of these people who believe that they're getting their rights fought for because they can maintain and be, you know, the golden children of like the privileged race or country.
Yeah.
But they're not, the rich people don't give a shit about them.
Nope. Nope.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're just wanting to, like, help get that information out there. Because I find it was definitely, I was shook after I watched. I mean, it was, like between, especially the last part of Dirty Money, it runs about an hour, and then the other documentary. It's, like, 3 hours of just, like, holy fuck, this is what's been happening. And it put a huge, like, light that, like, oh, my God, like, Trump is just, like, you know, like when you're in a video game, he's just like the mini boss. Like the real boss is like is Putin. Like he is up to no good. If anything happens to me, it was Putin, because I'm talking about him. I see you, Putin. I see you, Pooty Poot Poot. I ain't having it. But like Trump is just the puppet. Like it goes far beyond it.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, like they're purposely trying to manipulate us in the United States to fight against each other. We talked about this last week where I found out that it was like 20,000 like tweets about The Last Jedi to stir up political debate about amongst The Last Jedi. And
it's wild.
If we can be fighting about pop culture, then we'll be fighting about any and everything,
because easily
we get so we're triggered, we're rapid response, you start getting into more and more echo chambers, and we're then fighting with each other as opposed to kind of like looking at the building unity from within. Because I really feel like if we can build a unified nation, then we can spread that out towards the world.
I amen to that. Speaking of, do you mind if I change gears real quick?
Switch.
Really wanna,
because
there's a story that's happening.
Yes.
It's happened again, James.
Oh, God, what?
It's happened again.
What?
We have another accusation by a upset white woman against a black person.
Oh, God.
This time, you know what? I want to be more serious about it, and I want to be a little bit more how terrible this could be. So basically... this woman, her name is Teresa Klein. She was at a deli a couple nights ago, and she accused a 9-year-old boy who's black of sexually assaulting her.
Oh, I'm getting Emmett Till flashbacks right now.
Exactly. Thank you. This is exactly what happened to Emmett Till. Falsely accused, because she came back. So basically, she came back last Friday and looked at the surveillance footage. Thank God there was surveillance footage. The whole neighborhood was there, and it's obvious that the boy's backpack just brushed up against her.
Where was this? I think, did you say?
I believe it's in New York. Let me see.
You know what? And like, no part of the nation is safe from racial bias.
Yeah, like, don't jump to this fucking conclusion.
Yeah.
This is crazy to accuse. This woman is clear. I think she's like 53. Mm. She's a grown-ass woman, and she's accusing a 9-year-old boy of sexual assault. Mm-mm. When you do that, our history of our country is fucking... little boys have died for this.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And men. Yeah. And also, like, think about it. If you are fucking... If some little kid rubbed against my butt, I wouldn't be like, sexual assault. Right. I'd be like, get this little kid away from my butt. Yeah. That's all, like, you know?
Listen, like, little kid, that's inappropriate. And you just say that right then and there. Like, it's like, it's New York. Like, we live on top of each other. Like, there is no such thing as, like, private personal space. Like, I don't know. Like, to me in New York, I've seen many people, like, just have a conversation with someone of, like, hey, don't do that. Like, you know, like, there's no... It's a tight space, so it seems like this 53-year-old woman could have just been like, hey, that's not okay, or that happened.
Right. Not to mention she, like, made the little boy cry. Ugh. And was, like, really upset. I mean, that's the thing that we need to think about. Like, I really wanted to bring this story up. They're calling her corner store Caroline, and because of the whole, like, you know, with Barbecue Becky and all of those different people. Mm-hmm. But this is serious. This is weaponized victimhood.
Yeah.
And thank God we're in a time now where we can kind of take for a moment, like, you know, this kid's not going to get lynched. But this is exactly what would get this kid lynched. This false claim, this sexualization of a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Little black kids are thought of as older all the time.
All the time, yeah.
Meanwhile, Kavanaugh is just, he was a boy or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. We need to check, you need to check yourself. Yeah. If you get a little kid rubbing up against you, don't immediately sexualize it.
Yeah.
Just say, you know what? That's a little kid. I'm being an asshole right now. This woman is an asshole.
Yeah.
And that, I really wanted to bring it up because this is definitely has the echoes of Emmett Till, and our country has a terrible, terrible, terrible problem of, like, making our kids into adults earlier than we should be.
Yeah.
It's so fucked up. Yeah. And then she tried to blame it on the mom, saying that the mother was, like, escalated the situation. No, you know what escalated the situation? When you said that a 9-year-old sexually assaulted you.
Yeah. And I mean, my mind just can't help but wonder if it was a little white boy who had done it in, like, the Upper West Side, you know?
Right. She wouldn't have given a shit.
Wouldn't have given a shit. It's all those things. Oh, man, that just, like, when you told the story, it just made my heart sink, and I just literally got Emmett Till flashbacks. And, like, I guess, who knows if this would have happened in a different part of the country at this time today, the results could have been completely different.
Exactly. Right. Maybe this wouldn't have been in the news, and that kid would have been secretly, you know, quietly killed.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need to stop doing this. If you're an adult, just stop it. Stop it right now. Like, this is... I don't even understand. I mean, like... the way that the story broke, her coming back, watching the videotape with the whole neighborhood there, her saying, like, oh my God, the child accidentally brushed me. Now he's a child. And then everybody's kind of laughing. And then she's like saying, young man, I don't know your name, but I'm sorry. All of that drips still.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, don't say I don't know your name. Say, what is your name?
Right.
I'm so sorry. I can't believe I did this. Like, and people shouldn't be laughing. I feel like this should be a crime. I feel like she needs to be arrested, because how dare you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This is a 9-year-old kid. When I was 9, you know what I was thinking about?
What were you thinking
about? Nothing sexual.
I might have been, but that's because I was a very curious child.
See, I wasn't. Butts were where farts came out, and that was funny, and that is it.
Yeah, okay.
For me.
Yeah.
You know?
No, totally. Yeah, like, I get it. I get it. I had no idea about this story. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, it's a new one. It's really annoying.
I don't know if you've heard about this. So the movie Birds of Prey is full go. And do you know anything about Birds of Prey, DC?
I don't.
Okay.
So you need to tell me about this, because I am confused. doesn't Harlequin have something to do with this?
Sometimes not really, but kind of. I think they're going to shoehorn her in it. So Birds of Prey is like a feat. Like they take place. They live up in Gotham City, home of the Batman. So it's there was a short lived. I want to say WB. Yeah, back when the WB used to exist, there was a short lived. Oh, you know what? Harley Quinn was the villain in that. So maybe. Yeah, you're right. So the Birds of Prey, it's usually like a female group of heroines. Heroes.
Wait, hold on, yes, James. What? I got a question.
Yeah, what you got?
I feel like, you know, DC, the two cities that we got is Gotham and Metropolis, right?
Yeah.
Nothing happens in Metropolis. What the fuck is Superman doing? But everything happens in Gotham.
You know why? Because Metropolis is Jersey City and Gotham is New York. No joke. That's literally... Yeah. Which is also stupid that these superheroes live so close to each other. But, you know...
Yeah. Why? Concentration. Yeah. Like, hello. Let's loosen it up a little bit. Spread it amongst the country.
And then there's like... I think where Green Lantern is like over in like an LA type city. And then I think Green Arrow's...
We get Green Lantern over here?
Yeah. Womp, and then, well, there's a black Green Lantern and he's dope. So,
he's dope.
I think is that Hal Jordan or John Stewart? John Stewart. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From The Daily Show?
No. No. But Birds of Prey. So, there is, it's usually the Huntress, which sometimes there's two different versions of Huntress. She is sometimes either Batman and Catwoman's daughter, or she's a mafia princess turned vigilante. Black Canary and Batgirl. And this is Batgirl usually starts Birds of Prey because she had just been shot by the Joker and she's now in a wheelchair. And she's like,
but why are they? She's not a bird.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, sorry.
She's now, but she becomes Oracle. And she calls the shots.
Cool.
She's like, get over there, ladies. Go stop that crime. I'm in a wheelchair.
I like that because Batgirl is a librarian, so, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, their Birds of Prey is coming to the big screen because part of Margot Robbie, her big thing is she was trying to get more female-driven movies because she was kind of like the highlight of Suicide Squad. So, she's got like number of projects. So, she's got Gotham City Sirens, which would be like her, Poison Ivy, and Catwoman just having a good time, being their boss-ass lady bitches. Self and causing some trouble and doing it up. And
I'm interested.
Yeah. And then she's also, so then there's also Birds of Prey where I think she would either, I hope she'd just be the villain. Like, don't be like, I'm the good girl too. Like, no, be a villain.
I mean,
it's dope.
You know, they're going to make her the good girl.
No, don't do it. I want to just be a badass, like, villain. I'm here for it.
Yeah,
I'll root for you.
Me too.
So they've already begun casting and they do have, they've cast, I think Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Exactly.
You've seen her before. She was in Final Destination 3. The one with the roller coaster, where the roller coaster went awry.
Oh, yeah. I remember those commercials.
So she was in that. She was also in Cloverfield 10. Wait, no, the Cloverfield Lane. Cloverfield Lane?
Oh, yeah.
John Goodman?
Yeah. The one with John Goodman.
Mm-hmm. So she was in that. And I... Yeah, so she's been cast as Huntress, and they're doing the mafia princess turned vigilante version, Italian mafia. And then this black actress has been cast as Black Canary.
Ooh, I like that. Well, except, you know, why black people always gotta be like black something?
Totally. But like, I am kind of excited. Like, I love Black Canary. Black Canary is really dope.
Cool.
I wonder if they'll put her in like, Black Canary traditionally has blonde hair. So I wonder if they'll put her in like a blonde wig or something. I don't know.
You know what? We can rock whatever color
we
want to
sure
rock
can.
For our hair.
So I had the same sort of thing too. Her name is Jurnee Smollett Bell. She'll be cast as Dinah.
Yes, I've heard of her.
Okay. Yeah. So she's gonna be Black Canary. And so, of course, like, us black folks are like, why is she going to be Black Canary? But okay, we're here for it, whatever.
But you
know who's not here for it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you know them trolls. Yeah. Them trolls are like...
racist trolls.
She's white. But here's the other thing, too, where trolls, you can't have it both ways. Because actually, in the new DC 52, Helena Bertinelli, who is the Huntress... Helena Bertinelli has been retconned to be a black Italian mafia princess.
Oh, cool.
So, if that's the new Helena Bertinelli, why aren't people upset that they cast a white woman to play this now black role in the comics?
See, like, what is, you know?
See?
It's, trolls have no rhyme or reason, and we really need to stop paying them attention, mm-hmm. because it's literally just shit stirrers.
And
nobody is legitimately upset.
Right, and also, you know what, to your point, Aneke, we don't even know 110% that these trolls are even real and not some...
Exactly, they could be Russian bots.
Yes, because, not to go back into that documentary, but there are paid positions where they have to, like, put out, like, 22 tweets and comments an hour. Like, it's their job.
Oh my god.
Like,
we don't, that, like, sounds terrible.
That's their job, you know? So it's like,
yeah.
You're right. We can't even, you're right, Aneke. Pay them no mind, because we don't even know that they're real. And two, fuck it. Like, it's gotta mm-hmm. happen. Diversity is the way of the future. Get over it.
It is. You know what is also diversity the way of the future?
What?
How we wear our hair.
Ooh, you is right. We should just let us be it. Aneke, that reminds me of, I think you and I both saw a certain movie.
It's movie review time.
Yay. Let's kick it on over to our movie review corner where we watch Napoli Ever After.
Let's go.
And rolling. The news today is terrible, so why not forget about it while listening to Jonah Radio with Cash Hartzell.
Hey, everybody.
Featuring Neil Mahoney.
Also me.
This is a podcast where we play music submitted by a listener. We hang out, we listen to new tunes, and we take submissions at Jonah Radio, RAYDIO, at gmail.com. Come and check us out. We're here anyway.
Yeah, we'll be here.
So, and that's it. Back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Napoli Ever After, Napoli Ever you know, After, Napoli Ever After.
That might as well
after.
Have been the theme song Boom-ba. For this movie. Oh.
Okay, so Napoli Ever After, we just watched it, starring Sana Lathan.
Bite.
I thought the same. Aneke, I love you so much. I kept thinking about the same thing the entire time. So for those of you who don't know, where the fuck have you been? Sana Lathan is allegedly in... what was it called? Bite? Was it Beyonce Gate or Bite Gate?
Bite Gate. She bit Beyonce in the face. Yeah, supposedly. So
allegedly. Because we don't want her coming after us. Allegedly. Sana Lathan is the person who Tiffany Haddish cracked the secret in one of her stand-up things that Sana Lathan was the alleged mm-hmm. person to bite Beyonce at a party. Which, I mean, she might have been a little tipsy and...
She might have been. And you know what? Sana Lathan comes from a rich, upstanding, in the industry family. Yeah. So she has, you know, she's always gotten what she wanted. She wanted to buy Beyonce.
She was like, I'm going
to
do it.
She did. She had to
she's
do
like,
it.
She's like, I don't care if you're Bianca Lawson's sister and stepsister. I don't care.
That's how you know how she refers to Beyonce.
I don't care.
Okay. Yes, so this movie... Yes. I have to just say, it starts off with the most mahogany-ass card illustrations I have ever seen.
A lot of mahogany card illustrations. For also, like, different, like, life. The different acts are split up into essentially mahogany cards of, like,
yeah,
titled after, like, the hair. I forget what the first one is called, but I know there's, like, one card that's, like, the blonde.
It's all, like,
blonde,
straightened.
Weave.
Yeah.
Relaxer.
Bald. Nappy.
Yeah, Napoli. Yeah. So I guess like the premise is this woman, she her mother, she's
Violet
is the epitome of just sort of, you know, black perfection. It starts with her like at a pool and her mom is like, don't you go into that pool when she's like 8 years old. She can't get her hair wet because she's got to look perfect and look cool, cute. And she jumps mm-hmm. into the pool.
Which is... relatable.
Yeah, I thought the opening, like, I didn't grow up as a black woman, black girl, but I felt like I
grew up around black women.
Yeah, I got black female cousins. I know that story. My mama, she's black, so I know. You can't get the hair. You're not gonna get the hair wet a lot because then you have to, you know, a lot of work to get it all.
It reverts.
It reverts
back. So I related to that, especially with, you know, the ease. And I will always remember being, even with like my regular, like if my hair wasn't straightened and I had to go take swimming classes, mm-hmm. just looking at the straight hair that white girls had and like Asian girls and Latinx girls, where it's like wispies, like little baby hairs all over the place. Mm-hmm. And mine didn't have that. And, you know, jumping into the water and all of that sort of stuff, even chlorine, because black hair is actually pretty delicate. Yeah. So, like, you know, that freedom. And then also people being like fucking assholes about it. Those two twin girls calling her a chia head pet or whatever. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. But that happens.
Yeah. And I feel like throughout the entire movie, there's a lot of great sort of truth, sort of touchstones. I felt like the movie waffles between being a drama and then a comedy, you know?
You know, the movie's a mess. Okay. I'm just going to say
I felt like the movie didn't decide what it was going to be. It felt like it was like
the movie
an identity crisis. The entire time, like I think you could I really wish the movie would have just went for the I feel like you could have gotten the same message across and just been a comedy, you know, and like
it needed to be a comedy because it kept trying to be, it was like your auntie's favorite Lifetime movie. That's what it was, because even my husband kept calling it this TV show and I would have to be like, it's a movie.
This is a legit movie.
This is a movie. But he's like, you and this TV show. This movie.
You and this TV show, like you've been watching it for like forever. You're like, it's just been one morning.
I mean, it does felt like a while.
You know what? It's only an hour and a half, but it felt longer. It definitely felt
it
longer.
It did. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to say something controversial,
James.
It
might not be controversial because I got my coast. Cher's got her co-signing pin out, honey.
Okay. I did not like her as a lead character.
Sana Lathan's character, Violet.
Yes.
Interesting.
She was a brat. Yeah. I wanted to be like,
because a lot of the movie is... And the premise in the beginning is she wants to get married to her boyfriend, and she's perfect. She's got the perfect hair, just as her mom. Her mom comes over early in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning to help her, like, you know, press her hair.
Which is also, I have to say, the fact that he wakes up, he looks over at her, and she's all hair pressed. That shit stinks.
Okay,
you straighten your hair, it smells like burnt hair. I'm sorry. It's not like he wakes up and he's like, oh, she woke up like this. No,
he's like, oh,
you woke
up and did your hair and put on makeup.
You smell like burnt hair. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry to ruin the truth about that.
I do feel like I had already seen that scene and moment. So she pre-wakes up to get ready. Oh, yeah. It already had been done in Trainwreck. So I kind of felt like,
it's done by so many. It's just women trying to look good when they wake up in the morning. You know what? We need to fucking bump that shit out the window. Right. We look like humans when we wake up. Our crusties, you know, hair a mess, but we still are beautiful. Like, we need to fucking enjoy that
part. And I think
that's
the journey of the movie, because that's where she is in the beginning. And I ideally believe in the end, maybe that's not her anymore.
I don't even know, honestly.
If she really changed at all.
Because even all the way towards the end, she's like, I mean, spoiler alert, she gets back together with this guy, her doctor boyfriend who didn't propose to her when she wanted him to propose.
Yes, her muscly, light-skinned doctor boyfriend from Australia.
He's British. He's also in American Gods, the TV show.
He's very hot. He's
very
so
handsome.
Sexy.
Yeah,
but you know, my black American actor voice was like, they're taking our jobs again.
Okay, James. There's another black lead.
Yes, who's of dark skin.
And he's American.
And he's dark skin, which I really appreciated. I was like, okay. And he's the other potential like love interest. So I did appreciate that.
Yeah, which he's kind of rude to. Okay, I'm all over the place with this.
Well, just as the movie is all over the place, I don't even know where to start.
Like, okay, from the very beginning, she wants to get proposed to. She tells everybody she's getting proposed to because she sees a little box in his pocket. One, snooping through his shit, calm
so
down.
So already crazy. It reminded me of, like, I almost felt like those. This is our second time with the Sana Lathan movie review, because she was in, what was it? The best Boyfriend or... we'll think of
whatever.
It.
Whatever, yeah. Yeah.
But she's being all crazy, and like, I almost felt like I was like, is this one of those like crazy suspense thrillers? Because she was acting
I wanted
all
it to be.
Kinds of crazy in it.
Because, like, one, after 2 years, if he gets you a dog, that's a big commitment.
Oh, but
that's, like,
that scene was, that scene I thought, so that was one moment where I thought was really funny, because there's, like, the proposal moment, so he throws a big birthday party for her, and he brings out this box, and she thinks it's gonna, told everybody he's
Tiffany Blue.
It's Tiffany Blue, and she's like, oh my god, it's the ring, da da da, and it's like a collar or something, and she's like, what? And then he brings out an even bigger box. I'm like, okay, this is comedy. This is funny, you know, because, but then comedy comes in rules of three, so it needed another one. So then he pulls out the dog, and I was like, oh, womp womp. Like, I felt like, oh, here comes the comedy train. It's gonna be funny.
No, and she's like crying in the room with this dog. Like, okay, first and foremost, if you get a dog with a boyfriend, that's commitment.
Yeah. Yeah.
That means he's not going anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
Why do you need to get married? Yes. Why does it have to be such a big deal?
And I think they were only together for 2 years. I feel like that's always a...
Yeah.
I feel like that happened in Sana Lawton's last movie where she was like, I don't know, there was...
I gotta get married. Like, calm down. We need to stop having that be an expectation. So first and foremost, I was like, okay, so you're mad about that. And then his only comment that he was like, I feel like you're too perfect. We've been on a first date for 2 years. And she's like, that's so insulting. And I'm like, no, it's not.
I think he's like, I don't feel like I know you. And then she's like, well, we can't be together anymore, as opposed to taking this as an opportunity of like, okay, we have a dog. Let's get to
time to get to know
each other.
Me.
He didn't say I don't ever. And then she's like, are you ever gonna get married to me? And he's like, the look on his face is like, I don't know where this is coming from. You are acting kind of crazy.
Right.
So he doesn't say anything. And she's like, I think you need to leave.
This is crazy to me.
Oh, it was the perfect guy. Like, that's the movie.
Yeah. With Light Eyes, Michael Ealy.
Oh, yeah. And Michael, what was it? Morris Chestnut.
Yeah, Morris Chestnut. Yeah. So she goes nuts and she wants to, like, her hair is all over the place. Like, she, like, gets her mom to straighten it, and then she goes to this hair salon. First of all, I have a bone to pick with this fucking movie.
Oh, yeah, pick it.
Did you notice all the weird homophobic things that
I
were throughout
did.
It?
Aneke, I want to hug you so bad because I want to hug you. Because
it was like,
there
what the
was
fuck is
a
happening?
Lot of weird homophobic things, and also a lot of, like, heteronormative things. She's sitting, the taxi driver is, she's getting a ride from the taxi driver, and he's like, men and women are like puzzle pieces. They just got to fit together. Why would you go out of your way to say men and women are like puzzle pieces, as opposed to just saying, like, people are like puzzle pieces, or your partners are like puzzle pieces? So that
when she when she shaves her head, there's all these throwaway comments where it's like, your mom thinks you're a lesbian,
and they kept bringing up that joke. Like, they're
what?
Like, are you a lesbian now? She's like, don't tell me you're a lesbian, because she shaved off all her hair.
Yeah, or like the fact that the other love interest is a straight guy that owns a beauty salon.
Yeah, and there's a lot of digs at that.
What? Like,
how does she get to the hair salon? Because on the day where she thinks her husband, no, her boyfriend is going to propose to her, she's like, and there's a, and this can like push up the comedy. Like, it starts to want to be funny. She's like, is that a rain cloud? And she has her like assistant always check the weather. So it's like, that's funny, but like, keep pushing it. Like, I feel like, it's weird.
Yes.
I think that if Regina Hall, who I think she's very, she can be very funny. She did all the Scary movies. I feel like I would have rather seen her in this movie, because I think she could have punched up the comedy.
She would have like way more like physical comedy too. Regina Hall is really good at that too.
Yeah.
Like, so, okay, so she's worried about her hair, like her straightened hair getting water wet all over it. But then it's some little kids and they spray her in the face, and then it's serious.
Yes. And
it's like, spray, wah! And then she's like, angry.
Yeah, and I feel like the music could have scored it to me more whimsical. Like, give me some more Danny Elfman in the background. I'd like, like her running fast to things. Like, push up the comedy, because the premise is ridiculous. Let us know that
it's
you
ridiculous.
Think this movie is also ridiculous. As opposed to like, now we're being serious. And she's like, mom, I need you to fix my hair. And her mom can't fix it. So then she goes to this beauty salon. She gets a relaxer put in. Or
by accident.
And then her hair falls out. So then she's got to get a weave.
And also, okay, can we talk about the relationship with the little girl?
Oh, yeah. So,
because the little girl is introduced in the salon.
In the salon. Who turns out to be her new future best friend. Her new future love interest's daughter.
But then, like, it's creepy. Okay, first she sees the girl accidentally makes her hair fall out with the hair thing.
Yeah.
And also, she's the woman. Violet is hella shitty by calling the stranger girl looking a mess with her curly hair.
Yeah, she's like, ooh, my mama wouldn't let me be walking around with that mop on my head.
Yeah, because your mom is a bitch. We see that throughout the movie, yeah, too.
That's true.
The great Lynn Whitfield plays a bitch.
Yes. Which also, I love her, that actress who plays her mother.
Me too.
Ever since I saw her in A Thin Line Between Love and Hate with
Martin Lawrence.
And I think it's Nia Long in that movie too. I feel like she's in it.
I forget.
Anyways, that movie doesn't hold up, but I remember because I've seen it recently and it's problematic as fuck. Yeah. But as a kid, I fucking loved the shit out of that movie. Oh, no, I think it's Regina King. Yes, Regina King is in A Thin Line Between Love and Hate and plays the love interest. Look at it, connecting the dots.
Okay.
Different Regina than Regina Hall.
Here we go. You know, two great Reginas.
Yes, both great.
Both not in this movie.
Yes. Thank God.
Should have been.
Yeah. Regina Hall should have been. It would have made the movie.
Okay, but here's the thing that I don't get. There's a lot of plot holes, which I shouldn't really care about in this movie, but yeah. The fact that it involves a 10-year-old girl is creepy as hell.
Yeah.
So... this girl fucks up the lead lady's hair by accident. Mm-hmm. She gets mad. Then turns out she's the daughter of the shop owner. Then Violet sees her stealing a dress, which is like...
that moment is hilarious. So Violet goes on a little, she just broke up with her boyfriend because he was like, here's a dog. She's like, you don't want to marry me. Get out of here. And she goes for a little...
he's like, okay.
She's like, this is weird. You think you're crazy. And she goes on some shopping therapy with her, you know, she's got her weave in. And then how does she spy out of her little eye, like I spy with my little eye, this girl shoplifting in this window? Like, it was just like, this is ridiculous. And then she goes over
it
to the window and
big ass dress, shoving it in a backpack.
So how did like only Sada Lathan from outside the mall store, and not even in the same store as little girl, outside the mall window, see this little girl shoplifting and goes in? Oh, those earrings will match that dress you just stole.
I know. Okay, so which leads to, long story short, this little girl somehow gets her address and sends her
letter. She writes her a letter. I didn't even pick up on that. I think I was just brain dead about this movie.
You just thought she showed up at her house where she just was like,
I was just,
because that's how she,
I was just so brain dead about the movie already that I just was like, whatever. I don't understand what's going on. This is silly.
But this is the creepy part. This is the creepiest part. So clearly the little girl knows where this lady lives, sends her a letter of being like, I'm sorry, thank you. And then the return address is on the letter. So then Sada Lathan decides to go to the house to hang out with the girl.
Yeah.
And then she's like out on the porch braiding her hair. And she's like, well, she bought her the dress.
Yeah, she bought her the dress.
And then she's like, try on the dress. It's like creepy. You don't know this girl.
And also it's crazy too, because then she starts dating the dad. And then even when her and the dad when she starts redating the original boyfriend from the beginning, she still goes and hangs out with the daughter and like invites the daughter and then invites the daughter
to the engagement party.
Like, wait, what? That's confusing as fuck.
That is so weird. And she like clearly doesn't care about the dad's feelings.
No. Yeah.
And like also the other weird thing is like, why he has all these plants around his house. He's like super like, ooh, earthy plant guy.
Right.
And he's like, I'm doing all these plants for like hair and like making it better, natural stuff. And like, why is Sada Lathan doing the girl's hair then?
Yeah, I also didn't understand that. So that his daughter has like crazy hair all the time. And because she's like, my dad doesn't want me to put a relaxer in it because it's like women get addicted to it and it's, you know, bad for your hair or whatnot. And her dad doesn't have someone at his hair salon like do his daughter's hair.
Yeah,
or doesn't...
why doesn't he use some of these oils and stuff that he's making from all these plants in his house
daughter
and his own daughter's hair?
Oh, other subplot. Sada Lathan is also at like a big shot marketing advertising lady.
Advertising lady. She's an ad lady.
She's an ad lady. She's like the go-to for like women's like ads for like women of like, you know, lipstick. Which
I was so shocked at the one pitch.
Oh,
so
yeah.
She's pitching lipstick, and she's so good at it. And then after she dumps her boyfriend, she's like a mess and she fucks up the pitch.
Which,
but then
also the physical, the physical comedy in that, not that great. Sada Lathan just couldn't. It's supposed to be she really fucks up the pitch, but she doesn't really. And she kind of just
she
trips
crazy.
Over
yeah.
one of the cards and knocks it over and says, "Oh shit!" And I'm just like, "Ugh!" Like, where was the comedic?
I know
it was just a comedic moment that could have been like maybe her head goes through it or something. Like,
I don't know. It should have been something more than what it was. And then there was the shocking part where the other woman who's there in the pitch meeting, where she's like, yeah, she's beautiful, but you know, she's so much more than beautiful with the lipstick. And then the other woman's like, but we want to fuck her, right? And I'm like, whoa,
what?
Because it comes out of nowhere with this light ass movie.
Yes, that's true. Like, and that character was kind of all over the place, because you're like, is she her adversary or her friend? Like,
I know
she was just jumping all over the place. And then they have like, sometimes there's a black guy who works at the advertising agency, and sometimes it's just two other white guys who were there who high five each other, who steal the beer campaigns.
What's going on.
But then that same black guy who there's the same black guy who was in the original campaign pitch meeting who works at the advertising agency, and then in the end when she's like, I'm going solo, I quit. She's at an all black agency, but I think it was the same guy who was in the first meeting.
It was a different one. Okay. The continuity was not good.
It's Catwoman levels of miscontinuity. Yes.
Wild. I am just like mystified. Who wrote this?
Oh, that is a good question. That is a good question. I guess on one end, it's sort of like, I'm glad this movie exists.
Me too.
I'm glad it exists. You know? I can see why it didn't get like a film release. Like, I think Netflix was like, okay, we'll pay a few dollars for this movie and we'll put it out there.
Well, you know, check it out if you want to check it out. But, you know, it's wild.
It is a... But you know what is a good movie that I say you should definitely head to the theaters? And so a lot of our recommendations have been like Netflix and Hulu. Well, it's time to saddle up.
Yeah.
Go to the theaters. I saw The Hate...
What'd you see?
I saw The Hate U Give.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how, because... I don't know how I saw it. Because it doesn't come out until October 19th.
Yeah.
And I saw it on October 12th. So,
you know,
New York,
you got that.
We sometimes get the movies ahead of time or something. So it's October 19th. If you're listening to this on Friday when we've just released it, The Hate U Give, it's based on a YA novel of the same name. And it stars our girl, Amandla Steinberg. Amandla?
Steinberg.
Thank you. Who we have watched grow up from our little eyes. She was little Rue in the original Hunger Games.
Yes, in Hunger Games.
Yeah, it was, The Hate U Give was was very good. The title itself is based on a Tupac line. Thug Life, which stands for The Hate U Give... Little infants fucks up everyone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's like the premise. And so the idea is like, you know, in these communities that get ravaged by systemic, you know, racism, it's early on within these babies. And it just, that's where this anger comes from. That's where this, that's where this thug life comes from. The hate that you give. And then it fucks up everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of just the linear progression of the movie. And it was really powerful. Like, I remember seeing the trailers. I was like, whoa. Uh-huh. Like, I feel like Hollywood's always kind of slow to the conversation. I feel like TV gets there a little faster. Like, Sana Lathan herself was in a show called Shots Fired, where it examines unarmed black man being shot by the police. Or I think the plot line was in reverse of that. But TV show trying to have a conversation about things that are happening right now. And
this is
the first film that I've seen that is having that conversation about police brutality, you know?
Good. Yes.
And what I love too is that it's very much a movie geared for teens, very, very much. Like,
dialogue
is very, you know, I felt like there was one, she said some movement, she was like, I'm not going like Beyonce. She's like, at that point, I felt like Beyonce and Lemonade, but I really wanted to be Solange and I forget she names
it. So, okay, current.
And the language and dialogue is so just very teen pulpy. And I like it. Cute. It made me really exciting to see this young black girl navigating also just conversations of duality, because she goes to a private school where, you know, it's mostly white kids. And then, but she lives, you know, in a more low income black neighborhood and having to live that sort of, you know, dual life. And then when this kid, she was in this car, and the movie opens up with her father giving her the talk.
Got it.
And you know who is in this movie? Regina Hall. Who? That's why she couldn't.
Hell yeah.
That's why she couldn't do Napoli Ever After. Because she
was busy doing this.
Yeah. That's why. Oh, she's God. Like, Sana, I can't do this. You take this role, girl. I got to be over here. I read a review that said that this movie, and it's been getting rave reviews. I think it's like at 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, which just warms my heart.
Wow.
Love it.
Awesome. I love it.
And, one of the quotes said, you know, this movie is literally like a superhero coming of age story. And
it's
really about this girl Star. You know, her dad's like, I didn't name you Star for nothing. You know, her coming into her own superpower, and that everyone has a superpower, and she's very reluctant at times, and also just like the harassment that people get when they step forward. And it's interesting because it's also about how a community gets affected by these, you know, shootings, but through the guise of this young girl, her experiences.
I love it. Gotta check it out. Check this out.
And I also thought it was really dope, like the trauma, like how she goes through the trauma of the aftermath of it too. Because, you know, it's about 2 years since, you know, my roommate Noah died, and, you know, my interaction with the police where they barged in and I thought I was going to get killed by the police that night. And I was the scenes, seeing her go through that trauma, it felt very like, yep, that's exactly how it is. And it made me just so excited that, like, this was it's a movie good for teens, but everyone should definitely check it out. Take your families, go see this movie, especially if you have a family. It's a great way to have conversations that I think a lot of us don't necessarily know how to have these conversations. And it's so cool because I don't think there's ever been a teen movie that has been such a political statement. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is where we are, 2018. And it's dope because it's PG-13. So, you know, it can be shown in classrooms around the country once that gets out on. Well, how?
I hope it does.
Do they have DVD players in classrooms? Like, how do they watch things? I don't know. Do they sign on to their Netflix accounts in the classroom? I just don't.
They do. I mean, there's a couple of, you could do Netflix. You can project a computer onto a screen.
High future.
They got DVDs.
Oh, your school's got it all. Okay.
They got it.
I wasn't sure if they had to like give the kids a script and they have to like act it out or something. I don't know.
No, some of these schools,
they need our help. They need Betsy DeVos. We got to fund these schools because she's not.
I know. Well,
also last thing I do want to say is that it's not just about the cops, but also about drugs in the community as well. And but also the history of like where this came from and kind of connecting to, you know, you have these very rich billionaires who are helping to fund drugs into these communities. And who are the people who are going to jail for it? Not these rich ass white people who are, you know, money laundering their money through banks like HSBC, these banks who are turning a blind eye to this bullshit that's happening. And then the people on the front line are these communities that are getting ravaged, that are black and brown, who are going to jail, who are being killed, who are their communities are being wrecked by it. So it's such a good movie. Wow. Go to the theater, go see The Hate U Give, and then if you want to, you can watch Napoli Ever After.
If you want.
that should be the review. Minority Corner says, watch it if you want.
If you want. With a period. No exclamation.
If you want. It's your choice. It's your life. Do it up.
Okay.
Well, and I wonder what Cher would say. Okay. You can watch it if you want, baby.
What do you look for in a book? Literally, if on the back it said, like, this book made me shit my pants, I'd be like, I'm buying this book.
Yeah.
Like, I think the problem with blurbs a lot of times...
I like that we both want to crap ourselves over books.
What's the best way to e-read in the tub?
Listen to that noise. I'm reviewing a plastic bag today.
How do you find a good book?
This is the most fucked up weird shit you've ever read. You're like into it. I'm like, hand it over.
Take my money.
I'm Bria Grant.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara.
We're Reading Glasses and we solve all your bookish problems. Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Woo, what an episode.
That,
you know,
is
grab bag episode. It's the way that we do sometimes.
That's the way that we do. So you've got so many movie options for you to go and see, so get into it.
Get into it.
Ooh, can I make a plug in that, Kay?
Yes.
I am doing comedy at the Broadway Comedy Club on October 27th. I will put you have to call a certain VIP hotline to be able to get tickets for that. I will put that in the show notes for you. It's October 27th. Yes. Show's at 6 o'clock. Check out the show notes for the phone number to call if you're in New York City and get that $5 discount on your tickets.
Yes. Go support James. And also, we got a tweet of the week. I wanted to say that. This one's great. It's from at Danny Bell. And it says, Minority Corner, thanks for saying something about veterans being used as political props. It's frustrating to get trotted out whenever a politician wants to make a point against some less deserving minority group. The military is incredibly diverse, just like the USA. So thank you for that. And you can tweet at us at Minority Corner with a K.
I love that tweet. I mean, it's, you know, it is getting involved in that conversation. Oh, Aneka, you know what? I'm just going to give you the phone number for that hotline right now.
Oh, yeah. Give it.
I was able to pull it up. It's 212-252-2369. You just leave a voicemail and tell them that you're coming to see me and you'll get $5 off when you come to the show.
Right on. All right, guys.
You can also leave a review for us on iTunes as well. It helps people to find the show and join the Minority Quarter Kids Playground. And yeah. That's
yes,
it. Thank you to Brownout for the music. Thank you for our wonderful editor, Woody.
Yes, thank you.
And Aneka, thank you.
Thank you, James.
Okay.
And have a good week.
And thank you, listeners, for listening to Minority Corner.
Because together,
we're the majority. Love y'all.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.